بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We come to the last station in this volume. Inshallah, volume 2, we'll start with it next week. We stopped at the station of خشوع. خشوع قال صاحب المنازل خمود النفس وهمود الطباع لمتعاظم أو مفزع. المهم خشوع, it can be translated to many words: submission, surrender, humbleness. But in reality, the Imam defined it in a specific definition. الإمام اللي هو الهروي رحمه الله said الخشوع خمود النفس. خمود is when you say خمدت النار, يعني extinguished. So إذا خمود النفس, when your nafs becomes calm, you extinguish the fire of shaitan within your nafs. وهمود الطباع لمتعاظم. همود الطباع is when you relax. You see how your little kid runs around, and then تقول له همد, calm down. نعم, that's همود. الطباع يعني your traits to something that you glorify or something that you fear. طيب, here what does he mean? انقباض النفس والطبع. Ibn al-Qayyim now, انقباض النفس والطبع. He said, your nafs, it become restrained. Your attributes becomes restrained. يعني كيف؟ يعني imagine you're a little bit hungry and you enter the salat. You require خشوع in your salat. So تكمد أنت هالجوع. You try to control this hunger. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, when you're really hungry and the food is there, eat. Why? Because the combat, eat then pray. Why? Because the combat starts between your nafs and al-tiba'. One of the tiba' is what? Is you're feeling hungry. And the khushu' in the salat. Then the salat become with no khushu'. So يقول رحمه الله, انقباض النفس والطبع خمود قوى النفس عن الانبساط لمن له في القلب في القلوب عظمة ومهابة أو لما يفزع منه القلب. We already said that خمود قوى النفس, يعني the calmness and the relaxation of the power of the nafs. So what is خشوع? خشوع is you calm your nafs down and you control it. You make it relax in front of someone you really glorify, which is of course Allah, or you really fear. He said, قال وهو على ثلاث درجات. He said, الهروي رحمه الله, الخشوع upon three levels. الدرجة الأولى, the first level, التذلل للأمر والاستسلام للحكم والاضطداع لنظر الحق. We'll explain them one by one. التذلل للأمر. So it is three levels. The first one is التذلل للأمر. التذلل is to humble yourself to the order, which is whom? The order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني ابن القيم said تلقيه بذلة القبول والانقياد والامتثال. يعني you receive the order with utmost humbleness, acceptance, following to adherence, يعني, and submission. You take the order. So الخشوع is not you standing, breaking your head down and you just, that's not خشوع. Sitting in the corner and just, you know, like a freak. No, that's not خشوع. You could be standing upright with your head high, but you have خشوع in your heart. How is the first element of خشوع? The first element of خشوع is to accept the order. But to accept it, how? To accept it with submission, with acceptance. You submit to it. You humble yourself to it. And you follow it and you adhere to it. Ibn al-Qayyim continues, وَمُوَاطَأَةُ الظَّاهِرِ وَالْبَاطِنِ. And your ظاهر, your apparent, is coherent with your batin. It's a connected relationship. It's not something you show and something inside is different. مع إظهاري was showing الضعف, the weakness, والافتقار إلى الهداية للأمر قبل الفعل. Now listen, he said, you accepted the amr, but there's something here. You have to show weakness. We're not talking to the people, we're talking to Allah. And need to the hidayah of the amr. And you have to have in your mind that you are seeking the hidayah, you are asking Allah to guide you to this order, to this command, before the fi'l, before you do the action. Yani, the order comes to you, you are asking Allah for guidance, and to guide you also how to implement this amr. وَالْإِعَانَ عَلَيْهِ حَالَ الْفِعْلِ. And then when you do the fi'l, so before the fi'l, there is amr and there is fi'l. There is the amr, the order, and then the action performing the order, صح? So after the amr and before the action, there is seeking of hidayah and the method of performing the action. Then he said, and at the time of you doing the action, you ask Allah for i'ana, to help you. عرفت? That's why in Surah Al-Fatiha, in the Salat, where you say, Iyaka na'budu, asking him for, يعني testifying for the ibadah of Allah, and Iyaka nasta'in. يعني that worship that we're asking you to, that worship that we're going to perform for you, Ya Allah, we ask you to help us to do it. اهدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us the straight path. This is the guidance for the amr. And when you come to perform the amr, you ask Allah to help you to do the amr properly. And when you are doing it, you ask Allah to support you in this amr. And after you have done, after you finished, وَقَبُولَهُ بَعْدَ الْفِعْلِ. And for Allah to accept it after you have done it. You see the levels? This is the beginners of what? The beginning of khushu'. أَمَّا الْإِسْتِسْلَامُ لِلْحُكُمُ. As for you to surrender to the ruling, he said, here it is possibly the Imam is talking about the two different types of hukum. Hukum shar'i wa hukum kawni. The hukum shar'i, to surrender to the hukum shar'i, because the objection, pay attention, the objection against the ruling of Allah can be in two types. Can be objection on the ruling of Allah that is the shar'i. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, pray. You say, no, I don't want to pray. That's objection, what? Shara'i. You're objecting to the shara'. Araft? Allah says to the woman, wear hijab. She said, no, I don't want. That's objection to what? To the shara'. Objecting to the kaun, your son died. Passed away. That's hukum wa, universal. Do you have anything to do with it? No, Allah chosen that. طيب. Objection, you say, why me? Why that my neighbor is evil, he should be the one suffering pain. Why me, Ya Allah, I pray for you and I do everything and then you take my son. That's objection wa, kawni. So here the Imam Rahimahullah ibn al-Qayyim said, وَأَمَّا الْإِسْتِسْلَامُ لِلْحُكْمِ الْكَوْنِ وَأَمَّا الْإِسْتِسْلَامُ لِلْحُكْمِ can be shar'i and can be kawni. He said, as for the objection of the shar'i, of course, he is not, you can't be reading this book and you object to the action. But some of us could have objection to the order of Allah, against the order of Allah, but not necessarily rejecting to perform it. No, he said here, عدم معارضته برأيه أو بشهوة. You object on the clear command of Allah against the clear command of Allah by your own opinion. Allah says this should be done this way. You say no, it should be done this way. Or by your desire, by your shahwa. يعني example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just we stay in the salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, wants you to pray on time. Fajr. you object by you're not objecting to the salat, but you stay up till 2 o'clock and you cannot wake up 5 o'clock. Though, therefore, you wake up 8 o'clock. You have objected indirectly to the command of Allah by using what? Your shahwa, your desire telling you to stay back and watch television. And you know you need. You're a person. If you don't sleep early, you'll never wake up for Fajr. Some people, Allah gave them the gift. They sleep 4 o'clock, they wake up 5 o'clock, pray and go back to bed. But some people, Allah never gave them that gift. If you know Allah never gave you that gift, what happens? That mean, and you know, if you're to stay up, you're not going to wake up for Fajr. That's objecting on the command of, against the command of Allah with what? With a desire. He said, وَيَجُوزُ, and it is possible, he, the Imam intended objecting to the command of Allah by the hukum of what? Al-Kawni. Al-Qadari. Al-Kawni al-Qadari. He said, as I explained to you, Allah ordained something for you and you object to it. Allah, for example, you know, you tried your best and but the business failed. Then you say, why my business? Why me? I pay zakat. Why me? Allah, I pay sadaqah, but you still took. Araft? That's objection to the hukum what? Al-Qadari. And that's wal-iyadu billah from the traits of Iblis. The traits of whom? Iblis. He is the one who object to the qadar of Allah. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَار. You created me from fire and you created him from tin. Therefore, I'm better than him. Objecting on the qadar of Allah. He said, and the truth here, in this point, Ibn al-Qayyim said, هُوَ الْإِسْتِسْلَامُ لِلْحُكْمَيْنِ. It is to submit and surrender to the two ruling. To what? Two ruling. الْكَوْنِ وَالْقَدَرِ. الْكَوْنِ وَالْقَدَرِ. وَهُوَ الْإِنْقِيَادُ بِالْمَسْكَنَةِ وَالذُّلِّ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَقَضَائِهِ. It is, then, al-istislam, the surrender to the ruling of Allah, both shar'i and kawni, with maskana, with humbleness, showing of need, and surrender to the order of Allah and to the qada of Allah. وَأَمَّا الْإِطِّضَاعُ لِنَظَرِ الْحَقِّ. يعني, al-itidaa' here, fi'al wada'a. To put down. إيش فعل وضع؟ وضع يضع is what? To put down. Here, the syntax of it or the wazn of it, the scale of it in to seek that. To seek, to make sure and seek putting down. So, here what he's saying is, you make sure you put down your heart and your limbs and you break it down when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at you. لِنَظَرِ الرَّبِّ إِلَيْهَا. So what he's saying here, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Ibn al-Qayyim said, knows what's in your heart and knows what your limbs are doing. So you humble them, you put them down for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He is looking down at you. And you know, and He knows what you're doing. So you have to make sure this heart is humbled when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at your heart. He said, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً. This is, when someone fear the status of Allah, he has to jannat. What does it mean? Is to put your heart down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Here Ibn al-Qayyim said in this ayah, as for the one fear the status of his Lord and forbids the nafs from its whims, huwa maqamu rabbi ala abdihi bil ittila'i. It is the maqam, this place, where the person, yani these two ayat, approve maqam. Yani what is maqam al-rab? He said it is the time when Allah looks at your heart. Tab, one would say, isn't Allah looking all the time? Allah looking all the time. But there is a specific look that Allah sometimes looked at His abd. Not that He turns away from looking at your abd. He sees everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's a specific time. He said here, Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, خَوْفَكْ مِنَ الْمَقَامِ يُجِبُ لَهُ خُشُوعُ الْقَلْبِ. Pay attention. He said, this is something very fine line. It's not the fear of Allah here he's talking about. He's talking about al-khawf from that moment when Allah looks at you. You fear that moment. كيف يعني؟ Just to give you an example.
The teacher, you have a teacher
who always wants you to be ready for class. Do your readings and turn up to the classroom with your reading done. And then this teacher, he stalled to make sure that you studied. He told you from day one, at any time, I'll call your name, Saad. What's the answer for this? Like they used to do at school, when we're at school. You stand up on your feet and you have to just utter everything. So at random, he chooses your name. So you already have fear. You have fear, general fear that from the teacher. And you have that specific fear that he's going to call your name at that moment. That specific fear, هذا اسمه مقام. That مقام, when the teacher calls your name at random and you're not ready. So Ibn Qayyim is saying, this is what the ayah means. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. The moment that Allah looks at your heart. You don't know when. So you fear that you're not ready for that moment. You haven't prepared yourself for that moment. When Allah looks at your heart. He's still talking about the first level. He's still talking about the first level. He said, يوجب له خشوع القلب خشوع القلب لا محالة. This necessary state that your heart remain in the state of خشوع all the time. Now, he said here, there is another meaning for the word لمن خاف مقام ربه. He said مقام الرب is when you stand in front of the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Ibn al-Qayyim prefers this. He said it is more befitting linguistically and grammatically that it is the moment you stand in front of Allah. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. It is the moment on the day of resurrection. But that, the first opinion that I told you, it's not weak opinion, but it is another meaning. The second level, he said, تَرَقُّبُ آفَاتِ النَّفْسِ وَالْعَمَلِ. To summarize the first level, we said, التَذَلُّلُ لِلْأَمْرِ. To submit and humble yourself to the amr, to the order of Allah, وَالْإِسْتِسْلَامُ لِلْحُكُمْ, and to surrender to the حُكُمْ, and we said it's كوني and شرعي, the ruling يعني, وَالْإِطِّضَاعُ تُلَّوَى, your heart and your limbs, for the gaze of, when Allah looks at your heart and you looks at your limbs. The second daraja, the second level, he said, تَرَقُّبُ آفَاتِ النَّفْسِ وَالْعَمَلِ, to watch. Afat, the corruption and the filth and the mistakes and the sins of an-nafs and the actions. وَرُؤْيَةُ فَضْلُ كُلِّ ذِي فَضْلٍ عَلَيْكَ, and to see the virtue of people who have virtue on you. وَتَنَسُّمُ نَسِيمَ الْفَنَاءِ, and to smell and to breathe the beautiful scent of Fana. We spoke about Fana. I'm not going to repeat it all the time, the Fana. But he's still talking second level. When he spoke now about Fana, he bring it down to the second level. Usually Fana at which level? Third level. But when he bring it, Rahimahullah, Imam al-Harawi, he bring it down to the second level. He didn't speak about it in its core. He spoke about what? Do you smell the Fana? You smell the scent of fana. But you don't enter the fana until you get to what? To the third level. Now. He said, تَرَقُّبُ آفَاتِ النَّفْسِ وَالْعَمَلِ. Meaning, التَرَقُّب is not for you to see it. It is to wait for it to appear so you can deal with it. Why he's saying to wait for it to appear? Because you meant to be already, if you're in the second level, already dealing and extinguishing and destroying all afat and nafs. You know what is afat and nafs? Your own wrongs, your own sins, your own mistakes, your own negatives. There are some you know, and there are some that will appear with time. So when you're in the second level, he's not talking about dealing with the ones you have, because you already should be dealing with them. You already should be working on them. You already have narrowed them down, demolished them and destroyed them. He said, now you keep on watchful eye. If one of the afat appears, you remove it straight away. Because once you do this, Ibn al-Qayyim said, يَجْعَلُ الْقَلْبَ خَاشِعًا لَا مَحَالَ. Makes the heart in the state of khushu' absolutely. Why? Because you're now watching any afa. Huh? Was that an afa? How am I going to deal with it? Started to pull its head out. He said, what is he talking about? He said, لِمُطَالَعَةِ عُيُوبِ نَفْسِهِ وَأَعْمَالِهَا وَنَقَائِسِهِمَا. He said, for you to look for and watch for عُيُوبِ النَّفْس and the actions of the nafs. So عُيُوب, the deformities, and the actions of the nafs. You watch for what? From kibir, show off. Al-ujub. To gloat about yourself and the actions. Al-riya. What is riya? Forgot. We said showing off. Arrogance. We can use also arrogance. Wada'fu sidq. The weakness of your truthfulness. How truthful are you in your actions? Has there been da'af? وَقِلَّةِ الْيَقِينِ. And you watch for when your yaqeen start to drop. وَتَشَتُّتُ النِّيَّةِ. And you watch for your niyyah start to divert. نعم. وَعَدَمُ تَجَرُّدِ الْبَاعِثِ مِنَ الْهَوَى النَّفْسِ. And to isolate the whims and the desires that make you do action. Now, وعدم إيقاع العمل على الوجه الذي ترضاه لربك. And you watch that you do not perform the action in a manner that you are pleased with it, so you can offer it to your Lord. عرفت? So you become like what? Like a watchful eye, like a security guard, like a spy over your nafs, to make sure that you put it in its place as soon as you see any sickness that rises in it. And you watch not only for your nafs, for your amal. Any sickness in your amal that appears. Allahu Akbar, this is heavy, khwani. Wallah, this is heavy. Amma ru'yatu فضل كل ذي فضل عليك. As for you to see the virtue of the people who have virtue over you, Ibn al-Qayyim said, فهو أن تراعي الناس حقوقها فتؤديها. أن تراعي حقوق الناس فتؤديها. This is to consider the rights of people upon you and you fulfill them. This is important. Entitlements. Because we grew up in Australia, and many people grow up believing they are entitled for things. So they take it. You're not entitled for anything. يعني, I can open a door, but I really don't want to go there. People, even Muslims, they think they are entitled. No, you're not entitled. You're entitled for your haqq. For your haqq that you take, that you earned, that you worked for. That's your entitlement. Anything that you get, a good father, that is a blessing from Allah. A good mother, that is a blessing from Allah. That's ni'mah. Fahimt? The things you get for free, you didn't ask for, they're ni'mah from Allah. This is how the Muslim looks at it. Why? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the hikmah There are poor people. There are orphans. There are blind people. There are people who are with special needs. And there are people who are disabled. When you look at them, you know what you have is ni'mah. It's not an entitlement. That's how the Muslim look at things. You don't deserve health, but you are blessed with health. Araft? What is the dalil? The dalil, there are many people unhealthy, created unhealthy. So you're blessed with health. You're not entitled for a sheikh to teach you. Just because you say, wallahi, the sheikh has to. No, no one has to. Islamically, no one has to teach you. And the ruling is, يعني العلم يؤتى ولا يأتي. To put it in a better way. يعني العلم, you chase it, it doesn't come to you. But now, we believe that ilm has to come to us, even inside our bedroom. That's the mentality, that's how we grew up. True? And that is why here, the Imam said, وَلَا تَرَى أَنَّ مَا فَعَلُوهُ مِنْ حُقُوقِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And you do not see whatever they done for you as it is your right upon them. They don't owe you anything. Your parents, they don't owe you. Sah, they have a duty to look after you until you reach a certain age. Huh? But after that, they don't owe you anything. But you owe them now because they fulfilled their duty. Araft? So, the huquq, whatever people done for you, once you start to see that I deserve this, then what happens? There is no more khushu' in the qalb. But when you see what people are doing for you, you don't deserve it, and you feel that you need to pay them back, this is when you start to have humbleness in your heart. You know your place. Fahimt? Many of us do not know where their place is. Everyone, once they know their place, that I don't, these people don't owe me anything, my community don't owe me anything. On the contrary, I owe them. Therefore, when they give me something, I feel an obligation to pay him back. And that's what he said. فَلَا تُعَاوِضْهُمْ عَلَيْهَا. So, Hiyad al-Qayyim said, so you don't pay them back. When what he's saying here, فَلَا تُعَاوِضْهُمْ, meaning when you pay back your community or the people, you're not paying them back for what they did for you. عرفت? Because they've done it out of goodwill. He said here, فَإِنَّ هَذَا مِنْ رُعُونَاتِ النَّفْسِ وَحَمَاقَاتِهَا. He says, this is from رُعُونَة, يعني from the arrogance and the stupidity and the ignorance of the nafs. When you think people owe you stuff. Huh? When you think you are entitled for things. فَلَا تُطَالِبْهُمْ بِحُقُوقِ نَفْسِكَ. Do not ask him for your haqq. Here, he doesn't mean the haqq if people owe you. يعني if someone owe you money because you worked for them, you're allowed to ask him for that. He's not talking about that. عرفت? وَتَعْتَرِفْ بِفَضْلِ ذِي الْفَضْلِ مِنْهُمْ. And you submit and confess to the people who have virtue over you, who are virtuous towards you. And then he said something very important, and that's the higher level. وَتَنْسَى فَضْلَ نَفْسِكَ. And you forget the virtue of your nafs. You forget what you've done for them. You forget what you've done to people. So don't ask him for anything. And if you've done virtue to others, you forget about it. Why you forget about it? Because you feel obliged to help others. يعني you fed a poor person. One day this poor person, Allah gave him money and he wants to pay you back. You say, for what? Why are you paying me back? Offer all the help you helped me when I was poor.
That was my obligation, my brother. Right. I didn't do anything that you're not entitled for. It's my obligation.
But the person, the poor, he cannot see that he is entitled for this.
عرفت? شوف الأخلاق how it becomes good.
When you look at others and you see that they have haqq, you need to pay him. And you look at others when they do something for you that you don't deserve it.
How are we going to produce a beautiful community then? You see, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, Allah, he said, وَسَمِعْتُ شَيْخَ الْإِسْلَامِ ibn تَيْمِيَةِ قَبْدَسَ اللَّهُ رُوحُهُ. He said, I heard my teacher, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, يقول, العارف, the one who truly know Allah, لَا يَرَى عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ حَقَّ. He does not see that anyone owes him anything. عرفت? يعني, he doesn't see that I have to take my haqq from no one.
وَلَا يَشْهَدُ لَهُ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ فَضْلًا.
وَلَا يَشْهَدُ لَهُ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ فَضْلًا. يعني, in the same meaning. Meaning, you do not, لَا يَشْهَدْ لَهُ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ. Meaning, that he does not witness that anyone has a virtue over him. What does it mean here, يعني? يعني, he does not, Ibn Taymiyyah يقول, وَلِذَلِكَ لَا يُعَاتِبُ وَلَا يُطَالِبُ وَلَا يُضَارِبُ. لَا يُعَاتِبُ, so here he's explaining what he said. He said, لَا يُعَاتِبُ. Meaning, wallah, a brother did not visit you or did not call you.
لا تعاتب. Oh, you didn't call me, I'm upset with you.
He does not have to call you Habibi. He does not have to talk to you. He does not have to even bother with you. But one would say, Ya akhi, bas Rasulullah salam, brother in Islam and brotherhood and that.
This is our problem. We think we're entitled. The brother, this is what Ibn Qayyim, Ibn Taymiyyah is saying. The brother always puts it in his head that what? Like one man, he want to test Sheikh Abu Adnan. He stopped coming to the masjid for 1 week to see Abu Adnan whether he calls him or not. Wallah al-Azim. And then he complained to brothers that Abu Adnan never called me for 1 week. He's testing me. Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Taymiyyah are saying, Wallah al-Azim, this has happened true. Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Taymiyyah, they saying here, لا يعاتب أحد, because you don't see, you don't see that anyone owes you anything. No one owes you anything, Habibi. You're not entitled for anything. عرفت? It's the life we're living. We think we're entitled for this. طيب, one would ask the question, as Ibn al-Qayyim explained, one would ask the question, طيب, what about what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and visiting the brother and checking on the brother and the brotherhood in Islam? Yes. This is to whom? To you, to apply it. Fahimt? Yani, when you hear this ahadith, you say, I must check on my brother. I must call my brother. But you have no right to reprimand your brother for it if he doesn't do it. Apply it on yourself. Fahimt? That's what Ibn Taymiyyah is saying. Apply it when you hear the hadith. You should check on your brother. You apply it on yourself, but don't expect your brother to check on you. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah يقول, وَلِذَلِكَ لَا يُعَاتِبْ. لَا يُعَاتِبْ. Don't go reprimanding people for not doing what you believe you're entitled to. عرفت? Again, if you use the hadith and you want to use the hadith to reprimand others, no, the hadith is not talking about the other. The hadith is talking about you. The hadith is not talking about the other who didn't call you or who didn't visit you. The hadith is talking about you. Why aren't you visiting them? عرفت? And that is the daraja thaniya. This is high level ikhwani. But the problem, as I told you early, and Imam Al-Harawi highlighted, and Ibn Al-Qayyim highlighted, and Ibn Taymiyyah highlighted, that we believe we're entitled for this. Otherwise, we blame the brotherhood. And we blame, no. No, 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 no. هذا غلط. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah said, وَلِذَلِكَ لَا يُعَاتِبُ وَلَا يُطَالِبُ. He does not reprimand others for not giving him what he believes he entitled to. وَلَا يُطَالِبْ وَلَا يُطَالِبْ And he does not ask. Asking is different than reprimanding. Reprimand, say, Fear Allah, bro, you haven't called me. يُطَالِبْ is, call me, huh? يعني, you know, لا يُطَالِبْ They call you, alhamdulillah. They don't call you, alhamdulillah. You know that. خلاص. But what that does in your heart, when you know your brother hasn't called you for a week, then you call them. But don't expect them to call you. Don't expect them to check on you. But I don't want you to misunderstand the hadith. Don't misunderstand the hadith. The hadith is, yes, you called your brother. Yes, you check on your brother. But don't expect it. How easy you'd live your life. How easy you live your life. وَلَا يُضَارِبْ And there's no contention. He doesn't cause contention. He doesn't cause commotion about things. خلاص. Wallahi, my brother called me, alhamdulillah. He never called me, alhamdulillah. I call him. عرفت? شوف نحن how we live our life. شوف how much we unnecessarily stress ourselves. شوف. He said, وَأَمَّا تَنَسُّمُ نَسِيمَ الْفَنَاءِ يعني to smell the scent of فناء. He said, again, because the Imam uses the fana as the absolute end, and that's why he knew, he called it Naseem. Naseem is soft wind. You know this soft wind that comes in spring that has like nice scent? Nice scent sometimes of jasmine and roses and that. He said, because it's a, yani, such a soft status, such a soft position, it brings the ruh to it. You can translate this, you start to smell the scent of what? Of the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can smell that Allah is very close to you. Araft? You can smell that Allah is present around you. Not in himself, yani, don't misunderstand me, araft? His watchful eye, his sama', his basar, his quwwah, is around you. You don't feel it, but you just smell it. Because you're still on the second level. Then he said the third level. حفظ الحرمة عند المكاشفة. I'll take each limb, inshallah, and explain it. وتصفية الوقت من مراءة الخلق وتجريد رؤية الفضل. أما حفظ النفس حفظ الحرمة عند المكاشفة. He said, حفظ الحرمة. الحرمة meaning يعني الحرمة to the sanctity عند المكاشفة. المكاشفة when the veil is lifted between you and Allah. But here he's not talking about the physical veil. He's talking about the veil of closeness to Allah. مكاشفة. When Allah opened on your heart and opened on your eyes. This is the third level. Very hard to reach to. He said, فَهُوَ ضَبْطُ النَّفْسِ بِالذُّلِّ وَالْإِنْكِسَارِ To restrain yourself بِالذُّلِّ with humbleness and inkisar. Why he always mentioned this? He says, because when you reach a high level of ibadah in iman, when you feel you are so connected with Allah, sometimes you can relax. And that is the door I told you before that the Sufiya got destroyed in. They felt too relaxed until it led them to drop the hurma between them and Allah, and some of them went to deviate wal'iyadu billah. With connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you feel so connected, you start to feel that no one around you is like you. And this is the dangerous part. And you start to move to the issue of wilaya and all of this stuff. Sainthood and all of that. So he's saying here, when you live that al-mukashafa gives you relaxation. He said, you need to restrain yourself. He's talking about a level very hard to reach. But once you reach it, you have to what? Restrain yourself. And here Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَيَخَافُ مِنْهُ شَطْحَ. And he feared that he would not deviate. عرفت? Where he restrained himself. Then he said, وَأَمَّا تَصْفِيَةُ الْوَقْتِ مِنْ مُرَاءَاتِ الْخَلْقِ. Here he said, to purify your time from الرِّيَاء. الرِّيَاء is what? شَوَف. Here what he's saying, يعني, وإنما المراد أي أنه يخفي أحواله عن الخلق جهده خشوعه وذله وانكساره لئلا يراها الناس فيعجبه اطلاعهم عليها. كيف يعني? He said, is to hide your أحوال. We all know what أحوال means. يعني your status when you are in a state of خشوع and humbleness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You purify it, you try your best, the people don't see you. عرفت? You do it in hiding. So the people won't see you, and then will people see you what? They'll be amazed by you. And then you start to show off. يعني, for example, you probably reach those moments in Ramadan when the Imam reading Hayak Surat Qaf and you start to cry. Huh? Some brothers on purpose, they make voices, noises. So people say, MashaAllah, Mawlana Shaykh Na'taqi. No, here you're sincerely crying from your heart. Araft? You heard the Quran. Those moments, you fear that people notice and say, MashaAllah, Wallah, you see this brother, MashaAllah. He was so humble in his salat, MashaAllah. Saying, you try your best to hide this. Not what the people say, it is, so it doesn't affect your heart when people look at you and say, MashaAllah, look how much khushu' he has. Remember the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. We always know that the obligation to be done in open and the sunnah to be done when? In hiding. So people don't look at you. That's why the best to pray sunnah where? At home. Ma nahna al mushkila, some brothers who say pray the sunnah at home, they pray stop praying sunnah. When they go home, they get too lazy. Sah, or they smell the food and they eat, they get, alhamdulillah, mashallah, and then they sleep and the sunnah is gone. No, the basic principle is the sunnah at home. But if you feel, this is general advice, it's got nothing to do with the dars, that you know once you get home, there's no sunnah. Then pray in the masjid, Habibi. But the asal of the sunnah is when? Oh. When you fast the 3 days of Ramadan, 3 days of every month, you don't need to tell people about it. Keep it between you and Allah, Monday and Thursday, unless you want to encourage others. Arafat? But if it's a day Ashura and you want to do invitation of iftar of brothers, that's yani, encouragement, there is no problem. But the asal of the sunnah to be when? Secret. There are some ibadat you can't do it in secret, like Umrah and Hajj. Arafat? But normally, those salat, qira'at al-Qur'an, al-khushu' is to be done where? At home. Well, masajid are for what? For the salawat and hilaq al-ilm. The sunan at home. Qira'at al-Qur'an at home. Unless you do halaqat ilm of reading the Qur'an. Mush. The brothers are trying to pray and the brother, mashallah, decided he wants to be al-ghamidi. Opening the Qur'an and causing a problem for all the musallin. And the dars is going and he wants to read Qur'an. Qur'an is more important than your dars. Habibi, there's something wrong with you. Al-masajid, you read Qur'an in it if you don't interfere with people. Al-masajid is for the salawat and halaq al-ilm. And learning how to read Quran, of course, is part of hilaqul ilm. You want to read Quran in the masjid because your wife does your head in, you're welcome. But don't do other people, you know, the other people's head in too. And interrupt with them. Fahimna? Araft? Why? Because this ibadat is between you and Allah. This ibadat between you and Allah. And this is where some people cannot see that. He sits in the masjid, want to do the tasbih. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Habibi, this ibadah is at home. And this is where, when you sit and do this ibadat and tasbih in front of the people, the riya comes. And then here Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah al-Harawi is saying, تَصْفِيَةُ الْوَقْتِ مِنْ مُرَاءَاتِ الْخَلْقِ. You purify that time. That you think people, if they're going to look at your khushu', at your inqitar, at your ibadah, it's going to affect your heart, you purify yourself from that by trying other ways, by praying inside your house or يعني, other plan. He said, وَأَمَّا تَجْرِيدُ رُؤْيَةِ الْفَضْلِ فَهُوَ أَنْ لَا يَرَى الْفَضْلَ وَالْإِحْسَانَ إِلَّا مِنَ اللَّهِ. تجريد, to purify, seeing the virtue. He said, you strip it from seeing it from in anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't confuse it with, if someone did you a favor, we're not talking about that. But أن الفضل والإحسان comes from whom? From Allah. You in need, Allah, somebody came to you and gave you money. Of course, who gave you the money? The person. But here he's bringing your attention to a point. Don't look at the hand that giving you the money. Look at the hand that led this person to give you the money. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sakhara lak hadha ar-rajul, who subjected this person to give you the money. And that's a higher level. Araft? He's saying here, فهو المان به بلا سبب منك. He is the one who has the virtue and the gratitude for sending this fadl, this virtue to you without a reason from you. يعني you've done nothing for it. Even if you've done something, you still overlook those reasons and believe that this fadl and ihsan is from whom? From Allah. Allah gave you big brains, intellect. This fadl and ihsan of this comes from whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could have created you, like Pauline Hanson, with a low IQ. He created you with aql. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ihsan from Allah. Maybe your father and the gene of the family, you all, your IQ is very high. You've got very high intellect. Your father was like this, and your grandfather, you all come from sulala of intelligent people. You would look at the gene and say, wallahi, this is, yani, we inherited. But you look at the fadl ihsan, Allah created this in you. And you return it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا شَفِيعَ لَكَ تَقْدُمُ إِلَيْهِ بِالشَّفَاعَةِ. And there is no intercessor in this world except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask him to intercede. عرفت؟ وَلَا وَسِيلَ سَبَقَتْ مِنْكَ تَوَسَّلْتَ بِهَا إِلَىٰ إِحْسَانِهِ. And no wasila, no mean. Of course, there is the accepted wasila, which is what? The ibadat and the dua and so on and so forth. Mahabbat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and so on and so forth. Now, so tawassalt ila Allah with the love of the Prophet by implementing his sunnah. Tawassalt ila Allah by ibadat, by sadaqat. And the khair, the goodness come to you. But you start to look over that. You say, wallah, my wasila is worthless. يعني my amal that I seeked it as a wasila, as intermediaries between me and Allah, is worthless. And him, capital H, alone. Al-Ihsan. Why? Because sometimes you can be, the wasila can be problematic. Where you start think the wasila is bringing this. Like one brother once, Haram, he's simple brother, he's a good brother. He said, he started a new business, so he started to pray. And his wife got impressed. He said, yeah, Misha, so Allah can give us rizq. So his wife called me. Can he say that? I said, look, ya ammi, he says, whatever, I won't pray. But he saw the prayer as wasila for money. Which is sah. The salat brings khair to the home. Araft? bring sustenance, bring khair, brings rahmah, and could be money, that rahmah translate to money or whatever. But the point is, you overlook the wasila. Not that it is not important, but you are now gazing at the sender, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَالتَّجْرِيدُ هُوَ تَخْلِيصُ شُهُودِ الْفَضْلِ لِوَلِيهِ حَتَّى لَا يُنْسِيهِ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. What he means here, Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, تَجْرِيد, in this, تَجْرِيدُ رُؤْيَةِ الْفَضْلِ, he said that تَجْرِيد is to purify. He said to purify that you witness anything in the creation. And you see everything comes from whom? From the Creator. طيب. We finished the Al-Khushu'. Ibn al-Qayyim has a section he added in this point. As-salat wa adam al-khushu'. Because one of the main important khushu' comes where? In the salat. Khushu' is repeatedly mentioned in the ahadith, saying of the sahaba, saying of the tabi'in, as an important element of salat. Let me go a little bit into the science of fiqh. The shara', when it came, the Quran and the sunnah, did not come with the fiqh definitions we have today. And this is from the problems when we introduced al-mantiq into the fiqh, yani the doctrine of Aristotle into the fiqh, in a sense, where everything has to be defined. Of course, it has positive and negative, pros and cons. But the negative of it is this, that definitions today, if you ask, for example, a faqih, or read the book of fiqh, what is salat? He says it's a ibadah. Starts with takbir, finishes with taslim, contains sujood, ruku', recitation of the Quran, and adhkar. They mention every act that is apparent. And without that act, the ibadah, the salat, incomplete. Or no, it depends. But they do not mention an act that is hidden, which is what? Khushu'. You see how now the definition took away an important component of the salat, which is you find it in the Quran and you find it in the ahadith. That's why there was no definition for salat at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. No definition at the time of the Sahaba. Salat sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you see me pray. That's it. Araft. As you see pray, you would see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khushu' on his face. Khushu' in his sujood and ruku'. So you understand without definition that it is important component in the salat called what? Khushu'. But you don't find it in the books of fiqh. You see how when we stripped it from yani the ahadith and the ayat, we lost an important component, which is what? The khushu'. عرفتم إخواني why يعني it's a problematic, those definitions. He said here, if somebody to ask us, Ibn al-Qayyim said, what do you say about a salat without khushu'? Is it accepted or not? He said, it was said, as from the reward, no, it is not accepted. Reward, mushindu salat, not accepted itself, yani. Because let me explain something to you. Salat has two main things. Once you perform it, two main things happen. The obligation is dropped. You're not going to be asked about it on the Day of Judgment. If it's complete, done properly. The reward is something else. The reward comes according to khushu' and how proper is your salat. Araft? So two things happen. If there is no khushu', that means there is no reward. but you drop the obligation. فهمت؟ Like يعني our salat, our أحوال. You pray the whole, yalla, you don't know. As soon as you say assalamu alaikum, you're forgotten what you read in the first rak'ah. Araf? There is no reward for this salat. It's not written million or 2 million of hasana, no. It's written, Abdullah prayed, khalas, okay, line. Okay. Like shopping list you have. You don't look for the quality when you're wild. You just, okay, she wants cheese, get cheese, any cheese. Yalla, put cheese in the trolley. The $1.51. That causes upset stomach. Araft? You put it in the microwave, it doesn't melt. It's rubber. No. He said, أما في الثواب فلا يعتد له فيها. There is no يعني ثواب in it. Except what he understood from it and what he has خشوع. Now, and he said in Musnad Imam Ahmad, there is the hadith that the slave would pray a salat and half of it is written for him, or a third or quarter, even sometimes the tenth, sometimes, يعني as the hadith. Now, so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So Ibn Qayyim said, Al-Falah, the true success on the day of judgment is attached to what? Not salat, khushu' in salat. Now, as for it in the ahkam al-dunya, that it is dropped and so on and so forth, he said, if there is some khushu' in it, by the consensus of the scholars, this salat is accepted. With dunya, مش إنه إن هي رافتة إن هي رافتة. Allah alam what's in your heart. But in the dunya, we see somebody praying. He said, I prayed, I had some khushu' in it. You say, ijma', it is accepted. He said, and if غلب عليه غدم الخشوع, if it is, there is most likely no khushu', there is fiqh between the ulama whether he or she has to repeat it or not. He said, فأوجبها أبو عبد الله بن حامد من أصحاب أحمد. He said, one of the students of Ahmad said, it is obligation if your salat has no خشوع in it, or majority of the time no خشوع, you need to repeat it. نعم. And also وأبو حامد الغزالي في الإحياء, في إحياء علوم الدين. But be careful. It could open the door off. Waswas, jazakallah khair. Be careful. Because some people will never say, I have khushu'. I'll pray dhuhr 10 times. That's why you said, he didn't mention too many ulama, because there are not many who said it. One or two scholars. You have to pay attention. And I'm surprised the Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali said it so, because they are very strong against waswas. Al-Shafi'iyya, they're very, very strong against waswas. Now, he said, their dalil is that he doesn't get reward, or she doesn't get reward for it, therefore there is no guarantee of falah. Therefore, if there is no guarantee of falah, the obligation did not drop. لم تبرأ الذمة منها. عرفت؟ نعم. ويسقط القضاء عنه كصلاة المرائي. نعم. And the قضاء is dropped like the صلاة المرائي. قالوا ولأن الخشوع والعقل روح الصلاة ومقصودها ولبها. He said, they said also, لأن الخشوع, the خشوع, and the understanding are the spirit of the صلاة and the intention behind the صلاة. And it's the core of the salat. So how can be a salat with no khushu'? Then you have to repeat it. Yani habibi, yani like me, you're 45, you start praying when you're 15, probably you need to repeat 20 years worth of salat. Because most of our salat, there is no khushu'. Even wara iman, there is no khushu'. Now, yani according to what he's saying here, they said, what's the use of a salat that has lost its core, its purpose? What's the use of the actions of it? Become like? No. He said, he mentioned Lara Adilla for them. Yani, I'm not coming to go through everything. They said, وتعطيل القلب عن عبودية الخضوع والخشوع تعطيل لملك الأعضاء عن عبوديته وعزل له عنها فماذا تغني طاعة الرعية وعبوديتها وعزل ملكها وتعطل. المهم هي يقول رحمه الله what's he said وتعطيل القلب he said and to stop the heart from his ubudiyya, to stop him from what al-hudur, to be at yani present all the time with khushu', it's like stopping the king from controlling his subjects. Araft. So what's the use of the subjects if the king is redundant? Fahimna? So he's saying if the king where the khushu' is not working, then everything else is not working, so might as well araft, repeat the salat. That's the logic they are using. As you see, it is a spiritual logic really so far. Nothing solid like قال الله قال الرسول. You see? Araft. But it's you see what they're trying to aim. They're trying to aim to make sure the Muslim, when he prays, at the state of khushu' all the time in their salat. Also, they said that the Tirmidhi said, narrated the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ الدُّعَاءَ مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ. He said, Allah does not accept a dua from a heart that is heedless. يعني, يا رب اغفر لي, يا رب اغفر لي. عرفت? There is not a dua. He said, Allah is not going to accept it. Same thing, the salat, Allah not going to accept it. Also, they said, look how much their adillah he's bringing. Yani, I'm tired now. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. Here he said, السَّهُ here is not to abandon the salat. Otherwise, Allah will not call them musallin. What are they called? Musallin. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. If they don't pray, Allah will not call them musallin. Araft? الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ sahun. Here sahun is being heedless. Have no khushu' in your salat. Araft? You have no attention in your salat. So the wail, the threat is on you. Naam. وَإِنَّمَا هُوَ السَّهُ عَنْ وَاجِبَاتِهَا إِمَّا عَنْ الْوَقْتِ سِدْ. As-sahu here, Ibn Mas'ud said about it, that not to pray it on time and not to pray it as you're supposed to be praying it. But Ibn Mas'ud never defined the sahu here as being a presence with your heart and mind in the salat. He said, was-sawab, the correct opinion, that as-sahu encompasses both. That you pray it on time, you do the obligations in the proper manner, and also to have the khushu' in the salat. And they said, if the sahu was an obligation only in the salat, the threat should not be in the wail. Araft? The threat will be less. This is a severe threat. So it has to be something very important as a component in the salat. He said, فبالجملة, generally, the benefit of sincerity and being present in your salat and bringing your heart together on your salat, it is more deserving in the sight of a shara' because it brings about في نظر الشرع من مصلحة سائر واجباتها. He said, from the view of the shara', it is more deserving to have khushu' than just the obligations according to what they saying. Araft? فَكَيْفَ يَظُنُّ. How can someone, you say, if you missed one takbira, your salat is null, or your ruku' is not properly, or your sujood is not properly, all of these things, your salat is incomplete. While khushu is the most important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threat about it, you're saying is not one of the most important component of salat. You're saying, this is what the Ghazali and others are saying. You're saying sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Or Rabbana wa lakal hamd. As an obligation, we're not talking pillars of salat. As an obligation, from the obligation of salat is more important than the khushu' of salat. And Allah said, "Wailun lil musallin alladhina hum 'an salatihim sahum." They said, "This is not logic." Therefore, according to this ulama, khushu' is an important component of salat. It's the most important component of the salat to them. Now, he said, as for the second opinion, the Prophet ﷺ said, when the muadhin makes the adhan, the shaitan runs, and you can hear him making farting noise. Huh? And he goes so far, so he cannot hear the adhan. Naam. And when thawwaba bis salati adbar, fa'idha qudiya at-tathweeb, yani when he said, hayya ala salat, hayya ala sayat, he runs. Until he finish, he comes back to play. Yani when the salat, when adhan finish and the iqama finishes, he comes back so he can play in your heart between you and your nafs. Naam. And he start reminding him with things he forgotten. Until the person forget how many rak'ah he prayed. When you finish, then pray sujood as-sahw. You see how the other opinion? The other opinion saying what? The shaitan comes and play in your head to take away the khushu'ah from you. And to make you make mistakes. Therefore, when you finish, you pray sujood as-sahw. So Ibn al-Qayyim saying, so I can summarize everything for you. Ibn al-Qayyim saying, rahimahullah, what's for the sujood as-sahw then? If your salat is null, you don't need sujood as-sahw. So he's saying, sujood as-sahw is to compensate for this shaitan playing in your head which drove away the khushu'. Of course, once you start questioning your salat, that means you already don't have khushu'. Araf? There's a lot of it. And when you start doubting how many rak'at, of course there is no concentration, there's no focus. Because if you're focusing on your salat, you will not be needing sujood as-sahw. Sah? He's saying, therefore, why you need sujood as-sahw? That's why khushu' is an important component, but your salat is accepted even without khushu'. You see how the rebut comes or not? Okay. Now, and that is why he said here, sujood as-sahw, it's called in Arabic, or the Prophet ﷺ called it al-murrimatayn. Yani those sajdatayn, sujood as-sahw, he called them al-murrimatayn, which is the two that rubs the nose of Iblis in the sand. Because that's sujood as-sahw, you defeat the shaitan with them. So that is why there is sujood as-sahw. Now, he also said, the people who followed the second opinion, he said that Islam are really the apparent actions. It's not the hidden actions. The apparent actions is for the people. We judge that they have done the ibadah. As for the reality of iman, it is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we have two ahkam. Pay attention. Pay attention. Most of people miss this. And they're driven to extremes. We have two ahkam. Hukum zahir wa hukum batin. Hukum what is apparent and hukum what is hidden. The hukum of what is hidden is with Allah. Hukum what is apparent is for us. That's why when we rule on zahir, we don't rule on batin. This person's salat is correct, then it's correct. It dropped, it dropped. What's in the batin between him and Allah? Therefore, he does not repeat their salat. He said, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he used to leave the secrets of the people to Allah. Huh? And that's why he used to marry him off. And he used to inherit and he will take their salat as accepted in front of him. And that's why Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to free a lot of slaves. Once he used to see a slave praying, he used to free him. And some slaves picked up on it, they started to pray even they didn't intend. So some people came and gave nasiha, Ibn Umar, they only pray in front of you, man, so you can free him. He said, "Man khada'ana fi Allahin khada'ana." Who wanna trick us in the sake of Allah? We accept his trick. Yalla, let him go. Haraft? Look how sick we become, ikhwani. Look how sick we become. We are now judges of the batin, and even if the person have lara salah in them, we reject their salah. We see a person, a da'i, shabi, praise, everything, salat, iman, taqwa, khuruj, all this, we talk about them. No, he's murji. No, he's this. Ya akhi, enta hal kashafta ala qalbi. عليك الإيمان والصلاح وتليك في زهرت الله سبحانه وتعالى يتقوا الله والله وينيت تقوا لا لنحن we judge the heart and we leave the apparent. عرفت؟ Therefore there are something very important. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whomsoever says لا إله إلا الله with صدق truthfully enters Jannah. My attention. Is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم here talking about the hukm al dunya or hukm al akhirah? The hereafter. This is not a hadith you can base on it. Iman. In the form iman qawlun wa amal. The one who says to you, whoever says la ilaha illallah, khalas in the jannah, we say this is between him and Allah, but apparent to us, he has to fulfill the basic elements of iman. Believe in the heart, saying on the tongue, action of the limbs. صح. But whoever says لا إله إلا الله, he says لا إله إلا الله, the صدق of it has to be where? In the heart. In the heart, who knows it? Allah. So if someone commits kufr knowingly and fulfills all the prerequisites and we removed all the impediments, he fell into kufr, has to repent. عرفت. You can't say whomever says la ilaha illallah wa anta jannah. Habibi, this is between him and Allah. That's this ahadith is araft. He's talking about the person between him and Allah and what's in his heart. He said it with sidq. Because there are people who say la ilaha illallah with no sidq. Can you say they're not Muslims? No. You ask him, you're a Muslim? He says, of course, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Oh, he's not Muslim. He's just saying it in front of you. Can you say you're not Muslim? No. Because you take the hukum of what? Zahir. But if there is siddiq in his heart, what does the siddiq lead him to do? To practice Islam. If there is siddiq, then he's promised the Jannah. Fahimt? So, إذن عندك حكم ظاهر وحكم باطن. حكم الباطن is between the abad and Allah. Hukm al-zahir is what they do in their apparent. He said here, فَنَحْنُ نَحْكُمُ بِصَحَّةِ الْمُنَافِقِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْمُنَافِقِ وَالرَّائِ. He said, we rule upon the salat of the munafiq wal-murai. يعني if واحد a hypocrite, inside of him he's not Muslim, he just pray hack. He saw Muslims, he just pray. He said, maybe they do something to me, might as well pray. صح. طيب, this, do we say his salat or her salat is incorrect, or say it's correct? It's correct, because we don't know what's inside his heart. Same thing, al-murai, someone he prays to show off, come here, I'm praying. Araft? طيب, this person, do we say his salat is incorrect? No, his salat is correct. But عند الله سبحانه وتعالى, he'll be thrown back in his face or her face. True or not? And that's حكم الظاهر. And that is why the khushu' is something in the heart. It's not something apparent. Therefore, we can't rule on the salat that it is null and rejected. So the khushu' in the salat is, yes, an important element, but if it is reduced or it is small, the salat is... the obligation is dropped. Something just a little tiny difference here. Do not confuse between khushu' and tuma'nina. يعني you see somebody praying very 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 fast. When he reaches the salat, he doesn't stand up properly. When he does ركوع, يلا 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 صح. This salat quick. Here you're not talking خشوع. Of course, there's no خشوع. Here there is no طمأنينة, tranquility. The طمأنينة happens when the ulama defined it. If you're making ركوع, when your back is straight and your bones are taking their place. When you sit down, you sit and sit back. You relax. But if you raise quickly, jarring yourself and back down, that's not tuma'nina. And tuma'nina is a pillar of the pillars of salat, according to our madhab. Therefore, your salat is null if there is no tuma'nina. And this is something else than khushu'. Most definitely, but if there is no tuma'nina, most definitely there is no khushu'. But if there is khushu', most likely and highly likely there is tuma'nina. Because you will do your salat peacefully. But the tuma'nina, if it doesn't exist, your salat is not accepted. You have to repeat it. Not the khushu'. And we said the tuma'nina is measured by what? When you put your head down to make sujood, you say, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. هذا ما في طمأنينة. That's not. You are annulled واجب من واجبات الصلاة. عرفت؟ You don't. يعني somebody puts his head down, even his hands, the palm of his hand hasn't touched the floor, and up again. That is no طمأنينة. عرفت؟ And therefore this salat need to be repeated according to يعني our madhab. طيب جزاكم الله خير. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.